This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, June 19th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll look at how symphony orchestras in Illinois are trying to stay afloat and stay creative. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. Champaign City Council tonight will be asked to intervene in a legal battle over a new mass transit district. AM 580's Jeff Bossert explains.
The Champaign Southwest Mass Transit District, formed by voters in 2006, is still in a legal battle with the Champaign-Urbana MTD over who provides bus service in neighborhoods like the Trails at Brittany and Ironwood. City Manager Steve Carter says by intervening, the city can participate in court action over an area that was annexed by the CU MTD before the new MTD was formed. Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit attorney Mark Ansel says it would help protect a long-range transportation plan.
We think it's in the best interests of the cities to maintain a comprehensive and unified transportation plan. As the cities grow, we think that transportation needs to grow with them, just as all other city services would do.
Scott Tapley, who lives in Southwest Champaign and filed the original lawsuit over the annexations, says the city doesn't have a leg to stand on.
I'm not an attorney. Obviously, the judge will have to decide it. But they have no direct financial ties with the CUMTD. They don't appoint the board members. I don't see how they have a legal standing.
Tapley says the city council item presupposes that the Southwest MTD wouldn't provide bus service. He says that's not necessarily the case. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Urbana's budget for the upcoming fiscal year starting July 1st is balanced and debt-free at around $39 million. The city council approved that plan last night. Urbana Mayor Laurel Pressing says the new budget looks forward to growing sales tax revenue expected from new commercial projects, such as the new Menards and Meijer stores on Urbana's east side. The budget includes money to improve Windsor Road around that new Meijer site. But some council members expressed concern that little attention was paid to the city's so-called rainy day fund. Democratic Alderman Charlie Smythe says he agrees with Republican Heather Stevenson that they need to enlarge the fund to safeguard the city in case of a financial crisis.
I know we have a number of significant development projects that we want to get underway. And, you know, a lot of our reserve fund got taken up in a catastrophic, unforeseen way with the landfill remediation, which is what those things are for. And I would agree with Heather that we should start thinking about how to go about systematically replenishing that fund in the years to come should funds become available.
Mayor Pressing says Urbana's rainy day fund currently stands at around $600,000. She says strong retail development is key to any efforts to replenish that fund. The death of a Champaign County jail inmate may have been due to complications from a diabetic emergency. The county coroner's office says that's their initial explanation for the death of Janet Hahn. Chief Deputy Coroner Bill Sabian says the 33-year-old Urbana woman was found in cardiac arrest in her cell in the satellite jail around 7 o'clock yesterday morning. She was pronounced dead nearly 11 hours later. According to news reports, Hahn had been jailed since Friday on a domestic violence charge. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup says an autopsy will be scheduled. Hahn is the sixth person to die in Champaign County custody since 2004 and the third to die from illness or natural causes. The other three deaths were ruled suicides. A 73-year prison sentence awaits a Ford County man convicted of shooting his estranged wife and killing her boyfriend. David Harry was convicted in 2003 for the murders but was retried this year after the Illinois Supreme Court overturned that conviction on a technicality. Shipments of waste from the processing of VX nerve agent at the Newport Chemical Depot in Indiana were put on hold yesterday. The Army's agreed to suspend the shipments until after a conference set for this morning to schedule a hearing on a preliminary injunction in federal court. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The Sierra Club, the Chemical Weapons Working Group, and other environmental and citizens groups are seeking the injunction in their effort to stop the shipment of VX waste down to Port Arthur, Texas for incineration. Greg Mayhall of the Army's Chemical Materials Agency says off-site shipment of the waste is safe, but he says those shipments are on hold while the injunction hearing process goes ahead.
There will be some sort of time frame, I would imagine, that comes out of that conference. And once we get that time frame established, you know, the Army will decide if they will maintain the voluntary stay or resume shipments, because You know, we still believe that what we're doing is in accordance with the law and safe and protective of the environment and our workers.
Although about 100 truckloads of VX hydrolysate have traveled down the Texas without incident, Craig Williams of the Chemical Weapons Working Group says the danger of an accident still remains. And his group also believes that the VX waste may still contain traces of VX that could pose a hazard during incineration. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Illinois' comptroller warns that there will be terrible consequences if the state doesn't have a new budget in place within the next 2 weeks. More on that story from Amanda Vinicky.
Illinois lawmakers missed their first deadline of May 31st. Since then, the governor and legislative leaders still haven't moved forward with a state spending plan. The budget year begins July 1st. Comptroller Dan Hines says it's important that deadline is met.
Because it's not just a simple deadline that can be disregarded. It really has human consequences. Vulnerable people all over the state will suffer.
Hines says beginning July 9th, the state would not be able to issue paychecks to employees. He also says Illinois would have trouble paying billions of dollars to doctors, foster care parents, and nursing homes who provide state services. Hines also says road construction projects would be put at risk. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Hines is advising lawmakers to create a temporary budget. He says that would allow government to keep operating until there's a comprehensive one in place. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Many symphony orchestras are struggling financially in the United States. And while the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, serving Bloomington Normal and Springfield, is healthier than some, it's still feeling pressure to do things differently. Illinois Public Radio's Charlie Schlenker reports.
The hands of pianist Chufeng Huang blur across Steinway keys on the stage of the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Chufeng is a top young talent in the world of classical music, a finalist in the prestigious Van Cliburn Piano Competition. She is part of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra's effort to honor the 50th anniversary of the Cold War achievement of Van Cliburn, who won the Tchaikovsky Competition in Moscow and returned to a ticker tape parade and even pop culture adulation. Cliburn also started a piano competition that improves the careers of young artists like Chufeng by bringing more bookings to those who win.
All the competition essentially for me were stimulants to our musical career and musical inspirations. So basically I go to competition to work harder and to get more exposure, to get more chances to perform for people.
The Illinois Symphony Orchestra has snagged all six finalists from the Van Cliburn competition for the upcoming season. It's something of a coup and the only place in the U.S. that's happening this year. The showcase is also emblematic of the creative marketing orchestras must do to face increasing pressure. Lots of smaller orchestras are going out of business. A study done by the National Endowment for the Arts says 27% of U.S. radio markets have lost classical format radio stations in the last two decades, reducing its free availability, and the audience for classical is aging. Yet Henry Fogel, the president of the American Symphony Orchestra League, says the number of concertgoers appears to be stable.
The statistics that we have at the league would indicate that especially in the last two or three years, attendance at orchestra concerts has actually been slightly on the upswing. There was certainly a decrease between roughly 2000 or 2001 and 2005 when the country's economy was down and there was also some psychic damage done to the country.
Attendance does not always mean people buying tickets, though. The ISO has done what many symphonies in the U.S. do to build audience, hold free concerts in the park, and play out at schools to introduce younger people to the classical brand. ISO Executive Director Cheryl Snyder says the ticket-buying public does not come close to filling the organization's $1.2 million budget.
Somewhere in the neighborhood of 34% of our revenue actually comes from ticket sales, so we have a large chunk to fund, and we do that through generous supporters and sponsors.
ISO Music Director Karen Lynn Deal says the Illinois Symphony is above average in attendance for the population it serves, but only average in fundraising, a classic problem of not-for-profit groups.
More money, more money, more money. And it's not so that the money can be, you know, thrown away. I mean, the money goes absolutely into the pockets of the musicians to get them here. So the more money we can raise, the better staff we can have to be able to do all the footwork that it requires to put a concert on stage.
While they try to improve fundraising from core audiences, symphonies also must reach out to new ones with Pops concerts and events like the ISO did last season, arranging Carmen as a score while a silent movie of the Son of Zorro played as a multimedia experience. When the Van Cliburn finalists come to Central Illinois, they'll also be booked for master classes and school appearances to shore up music education programs, also facing cuts over recent decades. Concert sponsor Dave Harine, who owns a piano business, says he started playing as a teenage tubist with the ISO. Harine says that community involvement is one of the things he enjoys about this particular symphony.
You can bring in the talented, young, and qualified musicians to play alongside the seasoned veterans and the very polished professionals. It's quite an experience that very, very few people, especially young musicians that are trying to succeed, get that opportunity.
In the end, though, success for a lot of regional orchestras like the Illinois Symphony probably most depends on the product itself. American Symphony Orchestra League President Henry Fogel says casual concert goers may not be able to articulate when the oboes are a half step behind the violins, but they know something is wrong, and Fogel says it's important for even quality groups like the ISO to try to get better.
The music director should always program a couple of pieces each year that are a real stretch for the orchestra. That's what makes them better. And at the same time, that's what gratifies musicians and makes them want to stay with an orchestra. They love to be challenged.
That's why when the Van Cliburn finalists come to Central Illinois, they won't be playing the standard piano concertos heard many times before. Music director Karen Lindeal has picked lesser performed jewels by Prokofiev, Ravel, and Schumann to benefit both the soloist and the ensemble players. And with a little luck and a little marketing, the money will come so that the ISO and Chu Fang Huang continue both expressing musical emotion and engaging in the business of making art. I'm Charlie Schlenkert.
Well, the rain brought some much-needed relief over the two-state area, and we'll see the return of some sunshine, a little bit of dry weather again before the next system moves in, according to our forecaster, Mike Sola. Our forecast for today becoming mostly sunny in western Illinois, in northeast and central Illinois, and in northern Indiana, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms this morning, then becoming mostly sunny. For much of the rest of Indiana and southern Illinois, still cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms lingering. The highs today, a little bit cooler, ranging from 76 in northwest Illinois to 88 in southern Illinois. For tonight, some lingering showers this evening in southern Indiana, otherwise mostly clear across the two states, and lows from 53 in northeastern Indiana to 65 in western Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, the highs ranging from 79 in northern Indiana to 89 in southwest Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, June 19th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.